Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Sam Mock, the Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of Labor. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Morgan Kinghorn. Well, Sam, can you tell us about the department's three strategic goals?
We have three strategic goals right now, and we soon to have a fourth one. The first three are prepare workforce, a secure workforce, and a quality workplace. Soon we're going to have a fourth goal called competitive workforce.
And how does the Office of the CFO assist the department working with these goals?
First of all, I have to make sure my own area of operation comply with and strive towards achieving those goals. So, for example, a prepare workforce. We are doing a series of training, both formal and informal, to prepare our workforce for the 21st century. A secure workforce, we contribute to making sure we have a safety in the workplace, so that is our friendly workplace and a positive workplace. And let's talk about quality workplace too. The building itself, because the 9/11 has been very secure, but at the same time, you know, we also exercise extra measures within our own area because we do have a lot of information that we don't want to flow people's pay records, for example. The competitive workforce, departmentally, they talk about global competition. From my own area, you know, we need to compete with the private sector, compete with other agencies so that I can get the very best to come to work for us and keep them. So these are the things we're trying to do.
Strengthening the link between program cost and performance is something we hear a lot about. How do you do this at the Department of Labor?
That is an interesting challenge that we are working on right now. I mentioned earlier that we have all these components and their missions are quite diverse. And the way they go about doing the business is quite different. What we're trying to accomplish is that some common denominator. We have continuous discussion and different, you know, meeting that goes on to try to accomplish building a database, a pool of information for the senior executives of the department so that on demand, user-friendly method, they can extract information in format they would like to. For example, if, just for argument's sake, if Secretary Elaine Chao sitting in her office one night and decide want to know how much is a mine inspection costs in Montana, under the current scenario, she got to look somebody up, call somebody up, and make that request, and somebody will probably have to write a program, go to the database, do a test, and then deliver the report much later than she would probably like. By having the financial system, which we have a core accounting system and what we call a financial data store, hooked up with parameters that we predefine, and hopefully using a web-based, you know, technology, point and click, we can produce all those information on any parameters that the manager would like, because we cannot anticipate what managers want. And I think the best way to do that is create, you know, a situation where they can point and click and extract the information and build their own report. In the private sector, technology is there. I have not seen a whole lot of that in the government. The marrying together the performance goals and the budget, I think it's a very good goal and a very important function, because how do you know the programs are effective? How do we make sure cost allocation is done correctly? We are not there yet. We are striving to get there.
Well, that was actually one of my next question. While you're waiting for someone to write the program, while the secretary is waiting for someone to write the program, in your example, how do you make management decisions?
Well, we do right now. The information is there. The ability to deliver there, it's there. But it is not done in the timely or useful manner. Useful in a sense that the user, sometimes the client, has to adjust their needs because of restrictions on format and things like that, which I think is ridiculous. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. You look at the menu, you want this, they say, well, you want a chicken dish, but you can't have this and that. And so it's a compromise. What we would like to do is to be the CFO office is a service delivery organization. So we would like to have a very flexible menu, so that you can come in, you want this particular dish without salt, can be done. Or you want the other dish to be more salty, that's fine too. So that basically is the goal here. We are not there yet because that requires investment in technology, which we're doing. Also shifting paradigm from the employee's level. And also data collection, which is also important.
In financial management, as you know, you've been in this business a long time, the bar keeps getting raised on us. And OMB now is requiring agents to prepare semi annual consolidated financial statements this year, and they're going to go to quarterly next year. We know some departments are trying to do closings in 3 days, and two or three large departments still can't even get clean opinions, aren't even close. You've done it, but is this going to be a challenge for you to do, moving toward a more consistent and earlier set of consolidated financials?
The answer is yes and no. Yes, it's going to be a challenge. No, it's not such an impossible dream, okay, and I'll tell you why. In the 70s, I was head of the accounting operations for Time Life Books in Alexandria, Virginia. And Time Life Books is a division of Time Incorporated, which now being part of Time Warner AOL. Time Life Books itself, at that time, was headquarters, worldwide headquarters of 36 companies around the world. And we had Italian liras, you know, Chinese dollars, so forth and so on. And we were able to close our worldwide books in 5 days. And this was like 20 years ago. Corporate-wide Time Inc., when I was working for Time Life Books, which part of Time Inc., they closed the whole worldwide Time Inc., I think, in 7 days. This was 20 years ago. So I think to close our books in a few days, the technology is there. The question is, we have to change the methodology within the federal government. Secretary Paul O'Neill has committed to close a book, Treasury's book, if I remember, in 3 or 4 days. I was talking to Steve Apps this morning and Ed Kingman. They think they can do it. And Steve Apps being the deputy CFO and Ed Kingman being CFO of Treasury. I also think that this goal is very doable, but a lot of agencies, including that of my own, have to make some changes in methodology. And we are making those changes now. And I think it's important to provide that information because for the first time in history, well, at least for us anyway, we have an MBA president and MBA secretary at the Department of Labor. And they are very focused on, you know, financial information because they know how important it is. They know that having sound financial information helps make better decisions.
We also have a lot of more MBAs on the Hill, too.
That is correct. Yesterday, I'm a member of a Labor Executive. See, I'm still talking about Treasury. I just came from Treasury. A Labor Department Executive Committee called MRB, Management Review Board. And we meet, you know, every week to discuss, you know, department-wide management issues. And yesterday, we talked about, actually, the head of a human resource department, Tally Stepp, came in and talked to us about her efforts in recruiting more MBAs into Labor Department. And she's very optimistic. And she actually shared some statistics with us. And I'm quite impressed by her efforts. We actually recruited quite a few MBAs. And we will continue to recruit more. So I think the demographics of the federal government employee are changing too, because I think the economy obviously also helped us. 5 years ago, every MBA got 20 jobs offer upon graduation. Now they find government work a lot more attractive because it's more secure.
The issue of people is critical. Mm-hmm. So you can do a lot with both technology and people, but people are pretty essential. As you know, you can have a financial system, and if you don't have the right people and processes, it's probably not going to get you to where you want to go. But you, like other agencies, are facing what GAO and others call the crisis of human capital. How is this impacting the Department of Labor as a whole, and what kind of strategies are you developing to find solutions to those issues?
Succession planning is the key to, you know, solving this problem. The baby boom is all retiring, so everybody said. But I think what happened is I don't think a whole bunch of people want to walk out on the same day, number one. Number two, for example, we have a buyout recently at Labor, and, you know, a bunch of people took it, but not as many as I personally thought might, you know, have taken it. Part of the reason I think the economy, you know, is recovering, so people want to wait and see. I can use my own area of operations as an example. We did a demographic study in my department, in my office. 30% of my staff are eligible for retirement. I mean, they can literally say tomorrow, I'm retiring, and they can walk out the door after they file the papers. Okay, so it is very critical. That's one of the first issues I identified, that for me to plan succession correctly. So for the first time in the CFO's office that in recent history, because I inquired, they know I have a chain of command, not in the military style, but we start grooming the second or third generation leaders. I have an SES as a deputy, but now I'm grooming several 15s to step in. We actually do rotational duty assignments so that they have a chance to experiment what is a deputy CFO like one day in the life of. And I also groom 14s to step into 15 positions so that they too, you know, have a chance. As a matter of fact, some very interesting result came out. We had one individual who always won a promotion, so we happened to have an opportunity, who was a 14. We said, okay, here's the opportunity. Would you like to be acting for a while so that we get to know you better and you get to know what it takes to be a leader? After 2 days, he came to me and said, I don't want to do this anymore. He said, I didn't realize such a hassle. He said, I'm going to be very happy where I am. And that's fine. And that's a beautiful thing about the federal government system, that if you want to stay where you are, do a good job, there's a place for you. But through these kind of process, we hope we can identify the, what I call voluntary leaders. And so there's orderly succession. At the same time, we also try to recruit more people at the entry level that is, that will be ready and wanting to move up.
That's a good stopping point. Come back with us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation about management with Sam Mock of the Department of Labor. What does the future hold for those in financial management? We'll ask Sam for his thoughts when the Business of Government Hour continues.